I just wanted to make one statement before I start the show, and then I won't say it again for a long time because this isn't what I do. But after Donald Trump's visitation to Puerto Rico yesterday, I must say that he is the most ignorant, inhumane, narcissistic, destructive, divisive person, if I can use the term person, that I have ever heard of, known, or seen. The mere image of his face causes me great indigestion and nausea. That's all. Let's start the show.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much for that introduction. How are you today, by the way? Everybody good? Let's take a head count. You're there, and you're there, and you're there. Remember Romper Room? Remember that? I see Bobby and Joey, and see if you're a millennial, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. You have no idea. Romper Room was a kid's show, and it was localized. It was like a franchise, and in every major television community, there was a Romper Room with a Miss Jane or a Miss Nancy or a Misconception or a Misinterpretation, something like that. And kids loved it. Kids loved it. The Romper Room, the kids would march around. It was like going to kindergarten. And I remember watching it, and I remember watching it with people that were little. And it was quite a deal. Do you remember it? Remember Bend and Stretch? They did exercises. Actually, way back, they did exercises. They called it Bend and Stretch. Do you remember that?
Step back. So our circle's a little bit bigger, and you have some more room. Had enough, have you? Okay, Daniel. Just put it on the tray and then come and join us.
All right, Daniel.
Feet apart, everybody. Down to your toes we go. And look up into the sky. Maybe we'll see some clouds today. Was it raining at your house this morning? Yeah. Let's see if we can chase the rain away.
Get on with it.
Ready, please, Mr. Music. Stretch up. A few clouds over there, I think. A few black ones over there. Bend and stretch right up. Bend and stretch, reach for the stars. There goes Jupiter, here comes Mars. Bend and stretch, reach for the sky. Stand on tippy toe, oh so high.
Oh, that's adorable. Aww. Yeah, the little kids marching around and is almost like a military exercise. Very, very cute. Did you hear how the British version there, they refer when there's music, let's start the music now. It's Mr. Music. Everybody had a name. Mr. Music. There's no Mr. Music, and you know it. Don't tell kids there's a Mr. Music. There isn't one. Let's not try and make these little these things human that aren't like Mr. Chair. Let's sit on Mr. Toilet and do a Mr. Poop. I mean, come on with your... Come on, cut it out. Stop naming these things as if they are to be addressed at a cocktail party. Mr. Poop, Mr. Toilet, thank you for coming. I see Mr. Poop. May I introduce you to Mr. Music? He's over there in the corner. And that's fine. Thank you for coming. Sit in Mr. Chair, why don't you? He's right over there, Mr. Chair. Why were there all Misters? Why wasn't there a Mrs. Music or a Mrs. Poop? You know, seriously, I don't know why the guys always have to take the fall for that one. How are you today? You're looking good. Beep, 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 beep. By the way, I will mention some of the people that help out with the program. There's John Shanahan, who does the opening announcements, the comedy commercials, what we call bumps in the industry, the little things that go on in between segments. He's a very talented writer and performer and comedian, and he's written plays, and he ties his shoes on his own. He just does miracles. He's really good, really good. And then there's Jason Shaw, who writes the music for the program, the opening theme, and some of the incidental music. Incidentally, he writes some of the Mr. Music. Very talented man as well. Also can tie his own shoes. Something that I can't do. I seriously can't do it. I cannot do it. I've discussed this on the show before, as I have everything else. You can't be on the air for like 28 years and not repeat yourself every once in a while. Or a lot. So, you know, whatever. I assume you haven't listened to every show I've done in 28 years, so I don't really have to say that. Perhaps you didn't know that this was a repeated... No, this is not a repeat show, but I did talk about this before, that I cannot tie my shoes. I never could, even as a young child. When I was growing up, we didn't have Velcro. We hadn't been in space yet, which is where Velcro was discovered or something. I don't know how you discover Velcro in space. It's like you're in a space shuttle and, oh, look out the window, there's Velcro. I don't know how that works. I really don't. I think Velcro was invented for the space mission. Because people you can't tie your shoes in space. I don't think you can. I've never tried, but I don't think you can. And if you could, it would be very awkward because you're weightless and so are the laces. So I think Velcro is like a lot easier. So when I was growing up, there was no Velcro. I had to lace everything. Everything had to be laced up. And my parents taught me how to make the simple bow for shoes. And let me tell you something. Why are we still using shoelaces? It's so antiquated. It's one of the few things that go back to the beginning of time. I think cavemen had shoelaces. I think they wore sandals. That was a Jesus thing too. I don't know when the shoelaces came into play. It's been a long time, though. And like, I'm all the way up here, and my feet are all the way down there. And I don't want to bend and stretch like Romper Room in order to put something on my feet every day. And how many times do you have to bend over during the day to retie your shoes because your laces have come undone? Isn't it about time we stopped undoning laces? Yeah, Velcro. But Velcro is not cool. I have three pairs of sneakers, which I rarely wear because I don't move around in a auspicious occasion that involves exercise or anything like that. So I don't wear sneakers. I wear shoes. I wear slip-on shoes. No laces on them. No Velcro. You slip them on your feet. They're like slippers, but they're shoes. And I'm quite comfortable in them. And I used to wear boots. I wore boots like for 30 years of my life. I wore boots every day. I was obsessed with boots. I wore them. Not the kind that come up to your, not riding boots like you're riding a horse or something. Like beetle boots, we'll call them. Do you remember? You don't even know who they are. And they have zippers on the side. And that was fine. Zippers never came undone. Shoelaces, a very inefficient way of holding something on your feet. How antiquated is it that we're tying something to our feet? That's stupid. It's just, think about it. It's stupid. If aliens came from another planet, which they do, by the way, occasionally, well, they only visit trailer parks. Do you know why these flying saucers only go to trailer parks? Because no one will believe the people that live in the trailer parks. They don't believe. Yeah, well, it was midnight, and this flying disc came down, and this green man came out of the spaceship and then went back in, and it took off. Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Tell me again where you live. I live in a trailer park. Okay. Have a nice day. Now, if a flying saucer landed in the middle of New York City or Boston or Los Angeles or Chicago or something, that'd be a whole different story. But no, they only land in trailer parks where it's just one guy with a bottle of beer and his dog. And the dog is named after another human being. This is my dog, Bob. You don't name dogs after humans. I'm sorry. Well, then I'll name it Mr. Music. How about that? Oh, I guess that's acceptable. Bend and stretch. So, yeah, like, it's so antiquated, but tying something to your feet. It's stupid. It's just stupid. It's a waste of time. Women don't do that. Women have high heels. That's even stupider. You know who invented high heels? Some guy who wanted to punish the women. Well, let me invent something that'll cram the female toe into a shoe to the point where your toes will come off and it'll cause great pain. You'll have back pain the rest of your life. It'll put your back out of alignment. It'll make you constantly feel like you're walking down a hill. Let's make them nice and tight as well so they don't come off the feet. Let's cause great foot pain for every female that ever did me wrong. I give you the high heel shoe. And then the female, for some reason, went, "Oh, that's lovely. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that you created. Thank you. I'm going to wear this very uncomfortable thing every day." Oh, okay. Well, all right. You kind of screwed yourself then, didn't you, huh? Oh, yes, they did. Women should have said, "I'm not wearing this piece of crap. What are you, serious? I'm not shoving my foot into this little piece of leather and having the whole thing cram up on my toes. What are you, crazy? I ain't wearing this crap." But instead, the women, they said, "Oh, this is beautiful." Well, you're paying for it now, aren't you? I don't understand how you have any toes left at all, after all. I've never tried on high heels, and I never will. First of all, they don't make a pair that would even come close to fit my shoe size. I happen to have good-sized feet. You need good-sized feet to hold up this good-sized person that I am. So I couldn't cram myself into a high heel if I wanted to. They don't make them like that. They don't make high heels for elephants. But I look at the high heel shoes and I'm thinking, I wouldn't anyway. I wouldn't even try it, man. I don't even put on bowling shoes. I will not stick my feet into a place where somebody else's feet have just been. That's why I don't go bowling. You have to wear bowling shoes. And if you don't have your own bowling shoes, which I don't, I got to wear theirs. That's the rule. That's the house rule. You got to wear the bowling shoes. And they're disgusting. Someone just wore them, handed them back up to the bowling counter there. Then I come in here and they give me the same shoes. But what do? They put talcum powder in it. Well, apparently this kills all germs? I don't think so. What if the person before me had some type of a foot fungus or some sort? Some type of a horrible diseased foot fungus? You think a little talcum powder, a little spray is going to stop a... Do you think you can stop a fungus with a little spritz? No, I ain't putting those shoes on. Also, why does everybody have to know the size of my shoe? They put a gigantic number on the back of the shoe so that everybody knows your shoe size. That's personal information. There are two pieces of information that should not go out in public. One, your social security number. That must be protected. And your shoe size. Don't let anybody ever know that. My shoe size happens to be my password for quite a few security accounts. Speaking of security accounts, oh my God, what's wrong with me today? Oh. Speaking of security accounts, there's been another breach. Yahoo, years ago, said that there was a breach of like a couple of million people who were Yahoo customers. Now it's like a couple of billion or like 10 billion or something. I don't know there were that many customers or that many people on the planet, so I don't quite understand that deal. but there were a lot of breaches. And you better get used to breaching, babe, because there's a lot of breaching going on, a lot of trolling and breaching. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about because I don't know those terms, but I know that you got to be damn careful. So we're going to speak to two cybersecurity experts about all kinds of stuff. That's coming up later in the show. Yeah, that's going to be exciting, huh? You bet. You bet it will. All right, kids, calm down.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
That was relaxing. That's a little Jason Shaw music there. That's his music. Thank you, Jason. Hey, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday. I know. I was thinking the same thing. You don't even have to say it. I was thinking the same thing you were. Anyway, yeah, and you know, this is internet radio stuff, so you can listen anytime. It's not on a particular time. It's just there all day, and it's always there, and you can binge listen to like over 800 episodes in just the past few years, so that's a lot of shows, so I can drive you crazy if you let me. You can hear this program and many others as well, the Tory Lagarde Show, Talk with Francesca, other wonderful programs, and you can we have a special show on pets, all kinds of pets. It's kind of interesting stuff. As the network grows, it's New England Broadcasting and New England Talk Radio Network. And that's where you find us on your internet fun and on your smartphones. We're available on Apple iTunes and TuneIn Radio and the Podbean Network and also the Alexa app. Oh my God. Like, that's a lot of stuff. I'm dizzy. You'll also find me, if you lift your toilet bowl lid, you'll see me in there. That's where I started. That's where I'm ending up. Life is not easy these days. It's really not. It's a tough little cookie. Tough little, anybody ever describe you as a tough little cookie? Hey, you're a tough little cookie. I don't know what that means. I know. I could be a tough piece of meat that's very hard to chew and digest, but a tough little cookie. I've never had a cookie that was a cookie. I never had a cookie that was tough. Hey, I took two words, put it into one, and it made absolutely no sense whatsoever. But I think you knew what I was talking about. It happens every once in a while. When you talk too fast and your mind just goes faster than your head does, and your mouth is all screwed up, you're going to make up your own words, like all kinds of things. I know. Yeah. Some horrible things go on in our lives, you know, there's great tragedies, both human-induced and weather-induced and planet-induced, and I don't know, you know, I used to blame it all on people, and then you get these hurricanes. That's not the people's fault. What happens after the hurricanes is the people's fault. Not the people that were devastated by the hurricanes, but the people who promised that they would clean things up and take care of you. This Puerto Rico thing, you should be just ashamed of yourself, Mr. Trump, Mr. Music. Just ashamed of yourself. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, check out the news. He came face to face with the Puerto Rican San Juan mayor, who he's been having a Twitter war with, and she outstretched her hands and says, I'm sorry about this Twitter thing between us. So much she said that. And then she said, quote unquote, this is a human thing, not a political thing. And he actually didn't respond. He turned his head and walked away. Trump, you little piece of inhumane dirt. Unbelievable. Then you can see him standing in a large room with a lot of people and reporters, throwing out individual rolls of paper towels, flicking them like it was a basketball into a hoop. Then you see him walking down the Puerto Rican devastated streets with a smile on his face. Then you see him in various settings and various news conferences where all he does is tout what a great job he's doing with the relief effort in Puerto Rico, while thousands and thousands and thousands of people are like spreading like diseases with the standing water, no fresh water, no electricity, no food. I mean, are you serious? This is a time to tout your own success. I've had it with this man. I have had it. I'm done. But we're not supposed to talk about that. I promised that I wouldn't. But it upsets me. The one thing that I wanted out of that Oval Office was the idea of uniting people and making everybody feel hopeful and okay. The psychological part of the presidency that brings us all together and unites us. And this man purposely divides us in a divisive manner for his own gain. It's a phenomenal thing to watch. It's like the eclipse. You stare at it, but it can burn your eyes. But you're in wonderment. How is this even possible? But it is. And, oh, you know, everybody talks about the second coming. Oh, here comes, that was the first coming. Here comes the second one. And you want a miracle now. You want someone to come along, one person to come along and say, enough of all this crap. Let's take care of business. Let's do this in a humane, loving way. Someone who outstretches their arms and says, everybody, let's all hug and do it all together. Let's be a unified entity of love, compassion, understanding, and intelligence. Now we have the anti of that, and we keep our fingers crossed we can get through it. And those of you who support him right now, you got to open your eyes a little bit, babe. You got to open it up. So where is the second coming? In the form of what? In the form of whom? Is it coming down from a spaceship? Is it coming out of the desert? Is there one voice that will step up, perhaps in a world situation, or at least in this country, one person who will step up and say, no, this is not working. This is making it worse, big time worse. Let's do this right. Let's do this together. Let's unite us instead of divide us. Let's find common ground instead of searching for what divides us. Let's stop wanting the other people to be destroyed so that we can win. That doesn't work. It's made things worse, critically worse. Where's my miracle? Where is it? Let's have it.
The one we've been waiting for.
I'm not looking for water to turn into wine.
Here comes the miracle.
I got plenty of hard liquor.
It's time to open up the door. Oh, the miracle.
This is Cheap Trick.
My heart is beating fast. I can't seem to slow it down. It's too late to turn back. open up the door. Why am I shivering? I can feel it fading fast. Well, for the first time I believe that I can finally
to open up the door, and as the lyrics say, let's turn the world around. All right, that's as serious as I'm going to get. Okay, we're going to talk about cybersecurity, something else that can screw us up big time. One of the participants is Princess. That's her first name. That's a different name, isn't it? Can you imagine your first name being Princess or Prince? Kind of makes you a little royal, doesn't it? Kind of makes you a little special. All right. All right. Let's say hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody today?
Great.
Okay, I'm going to attempt to introduce you. Here we go. Princess Young joins us. Program Lead for National Awareness Programs in the Cybersecurity Education and Awareness Branch of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Cybersecurity and Communications. That's a lot of stuff to say. And Michael Kaiser, it is a long title. Michael Kaiser joins us. He's the Executive Director of the National Cybersecurity Alliance, which is a nice, fine, short title. Okay, this is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but to be honest with you, I don't think we have to do the month thing. I think every day is National Cybersecurity Awareness, because that, to me, is like one of the largest concerns on the planet right now. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yeah, you know, I think you are. I mean, you know, being safe and secure online is the equivalent of, you know, being safe when you drive. It's something you have to do every day, every time you're using the internet. So really, it is a societal issue now, right? Everybody has to know how to be safe and secure.
I guess I trust that everything is already taken care of. Is my trust proper? I mean, are all the companies that provide my services, et cetera, looking out for me, or do I need to be cognizant as well?
Well, just like you said, you wish that every day could kind of be an opportunity to promote online safety. That is exactly the way we feel as well. So A+ for you. You can come work for us anytime.
But we how much? Okay.
I don't know. We can get into those details later.
Okay,
you know?
Fine. Okay.
But basically, to your point, you know, organizations are doing the best they can and constantly ramping up their efforts to keep consumers safe. But to your point, you have to do your part as well. During October, which is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, we are promoting our overarching theme that cybersecurity is a shared global responsibility. And so you have to do your part as well. We can't always depend on just the technical folks or those organizations keeping us safe. We have to make sure that we're not putting that low-hanging fruit, like over-posting our information online, not setting good passwords. Those are just those things that will totally attract a cyber criminal otherwise. Yeah.
But isn't that what we do every day when we perform a banking transaction or we purchase something online or we go on Facebook and tell everybody where we live and what our interests are and everything about us? I mean, are we doing things that are unknowingly kind of stupid?
I think as human beings, yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I don't think people are doing things that are stupid, but you do have to share with care online. Yeah. You really have to think about what you're posting, and you also have to take the basic security precautions that, you know, in the same way that you wouldn't want to drive your car down the street if it was low on brake fluid, you need to do the same kind of maintenance on your online life as well. So you need to make sure that, like we say, like lock down your login, right? Use, you know, if you can use strong authentication, which is something beyond a password to log into your email, that's going to make you more secure, right? Yeah. Those kinds of things, kind of basic things that everybody does. And if we all do them, by the way, you're not only going to be safer, but you're going to make everybody else around you safer, because if your computer gets hacked, the first thing that, you know, the bad guys are going to try and do is use your computer to access somebody else's. So, you know, we do have this shared piece of securing the internet that we all have to do.
Sort of. I mean, when I refer to stupidity, for example, in Massachusetts, where I reside, your Social Security number is your Medicare ID number, and that's posted all over the place. That's stupid.
I think sometimes.
Go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say, I think sometimes we tend to opt for the easy route, sometimes better than the safer route. But I do think that we are constantly evolving, and we're constantly understanding, okay, maybe that wasn't the best idea, so how do I change my way of thought? How do I do better next time? How do I make better choices? So I think we're all evolving and being safer as we see the risks out there.
All right. Michael?
And I do believe, actually, on the Medicare piece, that they're going to start removing the Social Security numbers and switching them off. So that's, you know, I mean, things, you know, I think Francis points out, you know, hopefully security evolves over time.
Yeah.
You know, the technology that's coming to our lives is coming very fast.
Yeah.
So sometimes security doesn't keep up.
Yeah. You know, now we're all victims of scams where we get emails that look exactly like companies. And they ask for information to update your information to log in and all this kind of stuff. And they're not the true companies, but they use their logos and everything. I mean, it's just like a constant struggle to stay secure these days.
Yeah, you know, I think this is our main overarching message to people is stop, think, connect. And this is really the think part, right?
Okay.
If you get an email that asks you for all that information, think about what the consequences would be if you shared it with the wrong person.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be hard to figure out if it's really your bank or not or whoever.
Uh-huh.
You can always log off and go to your bank directly and log in if they want that information. But if you think about how the information that you're sharing could be used against you in the future, and use that as kind of your radar to say, wait a second, this doesn't feel right to me, or why would they need all that information? You know, you can go a long way to protecting yourself.
Yeah, to Michael's point, intuition is such a key factor here, because I know so many people that they'll get emails from, you know, supposedly their professor or their parents or that organization that you've been talking about, but they say, you know, it doesn't look right, but I better click on it real fast because I have a meeting to get to or I've got class. You know, you have to stop, think, connect, and weigh those consequences, as Michael said. But using that intuition is key. You know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're smart people. My listeners are incredibly smart, but there are people who are not, and they are sometimes inexperienced on the internet, or they're younger, or they're older, and they're less trusting, they don't think it through, they don't know the consequences, and I guess that's why we're talking today. The only unfortunate thing is I was brought up to trust people, and now in my adult years, I'm kind of being brought up to not trust everything that's in front of you. It's kind of a sad thing in a way.
Technology is a wonderful way to bring people together, but to your point,
there
are those vulnerabilities out there. And I love the quote, trust but verify.
Okay.
So I think, you know, go about your day. Use the technology. It's an amazing connector. But at the same time, as Michael said, use those stop, think, connect type of tips.
Yeah.
You know, make those updates to your systems. Don't necessarily buy everything that someone's selling.
Right. Yeah, with good things always comes caution and using your brains, and I guess that's your message today. Are there any quick tips that you can give us?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, just a couple of quick ones. Lock down your logins. Make sure you're using that strong authentication or a very good password on your accounts. Mm-hmm. Keep clean machines. Update your software on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC. Make sure you're doing those updates. Those are, like, really the critical pieces of security that sometimes people forget, especially those 900 apps you have on your phone that you fail to update or delete. And, you know, and then use your common sense online, right? You know, share with care. Own your online presence. Use the tools that are out there, like on Facebook and Twitter and all your social media accounts, where you can set your settings to who you share with, what you share, and those kinds of things. So take advantage of the tools that are out there to be safer and more secure.
Let me ask you one more quick question. What's driving me crazy now are passwords. They have to be strong. They have to be specific. But yeah, and I can't use the same one for multiple uses. I have a list of about 100 different passwords for various things. I can't remember any of them. How do you get through that mudslide?
I think, you know, password managers, we don't recommend an individual brand. We can't do that.
Certainly.
But using a password manager, it allows you to put all your passwords into a system, and you have to remember just one password when you log on, and then it will automatically log you onto the sites that you want to use with long, strong, and unique passwords is the way to go, especially for someone like you who has 100 accounts. We're human beings memorizing long strings of numbers and letters and lots of them is not in human nature. So in a way, our own system works against us sometimes.
Okay, and those sites are somewhat secure after you investigate them, because that's kind of contrary to what you're saying, to trust everything to one faction.
I mean, you should do some research and see where people have had the best experiences.
Okay.
But generally, you know, security is about reducing your risk, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, you can't get rid of every single risk.
Right.
So the risk to having a weak password is, you know, pretty significant risk.
Right.
So if you have a way of doing that, even if it maybe, you know, changes, puts it all in one place, if you feel that's secure, then you're going to be much better off.
Okay.
And that type of platform is probably safer than having all 100 passwords.
Probably. Yeah, you're right.
Keyboard.
You're right. You're probably right. So again, where do I go for more information?
You can go to staysafeonline.org or dhs.gov/stopthinkconnect.
Perfect.
Yep, and make sure you use hashtag cyberaware throughout October as well. That's a way that you're going to get real-time information and get looped into all the events, tips, everything that's going on for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Great.
Next month.
Michael Princess, thank you so much for your information today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't know if that made me feel more secure or more insecure. It's a toss-up. There was a toss-up. That was a toss-up. That was a toss-up for me. We've run out of time for today. The meter is running out of time. But here's the good news, if you look at it that way. Tomorrow, I'll be back again with a brand new show. And if that doesn't get you through the day, nothing will. In other words, nothing will. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You know, I do care about you. I'm sorry. I tried to say that with a straight face. But I do wish you peace. We'll be right back.